Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM. Good morning. Have you ever wondered, when you hear stories of crimes committed, who cleans up the scene and how do they feel when the scenes are particularly gruesome? Well, my next guest does exactly that. Laura Spalding of Spalding Decon, biohazardous cleaning specialist, joins me on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you, Laura. So firstly, you set up the business after witnessing, I suppose, firsthand the devastation caused by crime. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so I was kind of searching for a business that I wanted to get in, and I really didn't know at the time, you know, what direction I wanted to go in. And one night I was working a homicide scene, and the mother of the victim asked me as a police officer when we were coming back to clean it up. And I didn't know how to answer the question. I hadn't been asked that before, and I didn't know what to tell her. So I started doing some research and due diligence and realized that this was back in 2005. No one at this time was doing it in the US, and at least in my area, in my state. And so I took a stab at it myself to try to help them out.
So tell us, what do you guys do exactly?
So after a person passes away, their body starts decomposing about 15 minutes after their heart stops. So depending on the temperature in their home or wherever they're at, the decomposition process can accelerate. So, you know, sometimes there's fluid, there's skin, there's hair, depending on how they pass away. So there's a lot of cleanup to be had. And most people think that the police do it, but they do not. And the funeral home is only in charge of, you know, picking up the person's body for funeral purposes.
And who called you for the cleanup jobs, and what's the process there?
So the process is typically the next of kin, whoever right. The family member is, it would give us a call to clean it up. And here in the US, the cleanup is covered by homeowners insurance.
Okay. And prior to a business like this, who would have done the cleanup?
You know, it was, from what I'm gathering, it was kind of volunteers just helping out, or the family themselves would have to clean it up. Or, you know, people would just kind of pitch in and do it as best as they could without really having any equipment or materials to do it properly.
Laura, have you ever been traumatized by a job or like had a sleepless night thinking about it?
You know, I wouldn't say traumatized, but I've definitely carried some cleanups with me over the years based on the circumstances. You know, there's just certain scenes that'll stay with you. And then others are kind of more routine.
You need to tell me about your hiring process. I mean, Jesus Christ, I don't know. Well, first of all, they need to have a stomach of steel. But how do you gauge whether or not a potential employee has, well, the stomach for the job?
You know, what we do is we call it a working interview, and we take them out on a real life job.
Yeah.
And we see if they can hack it. And if they can hack it and they enjoy it, they like it, then they become a member of the team. If not, no hard feelings. We pay them for the day and they go on their way.
That's a very good way to do things. Fair play to you. I'm sure there's been many a person that's gone for the job and maybe vomited or felt a little queasy after such a scene. But have any of your staff fainted or, you know, or reacted badly to a crime scene? Has that ever happened?
Yeah, it has. You know, typically when we show up on a crime scene, maybe firemen will be running out of the house vomiting or stuff like that. But this is a very difficult job. It's very physically demanding more than it is emotionally. We, out of, you know, 100 interviews, only about 10 make it. So,
oh, wow.
Only about 10%. So but, it's not a lot.
But thank God for the people who can do it.
Yeah.
So what are the laws around this kind of business in America? Can anyone set up a crime scene cleanup business?
So, yeah, it's not difficult to set up. You definitely have to have the training. I would say the trickiest part of it is probably the marketing, because most people don't want to hear about death. It's not like you can run a 2-for-1 coupon or a commercial on TV. It's not something people want to think about. And, you know, so you have to just make sure that you're at the right places at the right time, that you're networking with the proper people that could potentially refer you in someone else's time of need.
Gotcha. And what sort of gear do you guys wear on the job? What kind of uniform do you have?
Yeah, that's one of the hardest parts that people have a struggle with. So, you know, we wear our normal uniform, which consists of, you know, khaki pants and our navy blue shirt. But then over that, we wear a Tyvek suit, we wear rubber boots, a respirator. Sometimes we have a hood on, goggles. So it's very difficult. It's like breathing out of a straw. And, you know, it's very hot here. So, and sometimes we do work in attics. So we have to take, you know, breaks about every 15 minutes so that we don't overheat.
Wow. You've got a big online following. Can you tell me about your TikTok videos that have gone viral?
Yeah. So TikTok was kind of the last social media that we, you know, joined. It's kind of the newest one in the crowd. And we didn't really know what to expect from TikTok. So we just started to kind of put some short videos of our jobs. You know, we have a good reality series on YouTube. So what we were doing is we were taking snippets of our reality series on YouTube and putting it on TikTok to make it conform to the time restraint. And within 2.5 weeks, we had 2.2 million followers. And now I think we're up over 4 million. So it's definitely been very well received, but we take an educational perspective on it. There's nothing, you know, shaming or voyeuristic or anything like that. So we try to teach people what happens when you die, how to properly clean things, how to remove odors and, you know, things like that.
And what sort of reaction do you get when you tell people what you do?
People are typically fascinated.
Fascinated. Oh my God. So fascinating. I was telling my mother and I was going to talk to you. She was like, oh my God, I cannot wait to hear that. It's a fascinating job. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, it's definitely people want to hear stories and they just can't possibly understand how difficult it is to do these jobs under these circumstances. You know, sometimes we're cleaning up the dead in an extreme hoarding situation. So there's body fluids all over this trash and we have to, it's kind of like a 2-for-1 type job that we're dealing with, you know, extreme circumstances. There's rats, there's dead animals. We've had a snake in there one time before. It's just, you know, the hazards associated with what we're dealing with are really extreme.
People are listening to this absolutely loving the fact that they're working their little 9-to-5 jobs in their office, giving out about their colleagues, not having to deal with rats and dead bodies and snakes. You are amazing and all that you do. And thank you so much for coming on the show and giving us an insight into the much needed, but, you know, pretty gruesome work that you do. So thank you, Laura, and best of luck in everything you do.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Great to have you. You too. There we go. I can safely say that is a first for me. I mean, a fascinating insight into the job of a crime scene cleaner. Anybody out there like to do that job? I'd love to hear from you. Their TikTok handle is at Crime Scene Cleaning if you want to check them out. It's not for the faint-hearted. I'm just going to tell you that. I just want to thank Laura Spaulding again for taking the call all the way from the United States. We'll be back after this.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.